from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Brian Broad is still watching practice in Oxnard, California. He'll have some great Cab Always takeaways coming up for you in Krusty's Corner at 3:40. We have a Rangers catcher Carson Kelly coming up at 3:20 here for the Rangers Player Show. And it is time now for Zach Woolchuk to deliver your NFL news of the day. Here's the Woolly Bully.
Yeah, the big news, we touched on it a little bit earlier in the open. 49ers are very open to trading Brandon Ayuk. The Patriots and the Browns are two teams reportedly that have framework in place on a deal for Ayuk. I think something that's holding it up is indeed the long-term extension that Ayuk wants when he's traded to the team. So I think that they're trying to, with his agent, kind of iron that out before a trade is made. There are some rumors out there that if he was traded to Cleveland, Amari Cooper could be sent back to San Francisco as part of that trade. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers have also been in contact with the Niners as well. Now, San Francisco, I guess, might want a wide receiver in return for Ayuk because Ricky Pearsall apparently is injured again. He has re-aggravated his shoulder injury, so he is going to be missing practice. Christian McCaffrey also will now not play in any of the preseason because he has a calf strain, according to Kyle
Shanahan. Surprise, back to reality.
Yeah, so there's a couple of big injury news of note for San Francisco, but I guess we're just kind of waiting. Like, at any minute now, it's possible that a Brandon Ayuk trade could happen. Seems like the favorites, New England, Cleveland, but maybe Pittsburgh sneaks into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, Schefter came in right at the start of our show about an hour ago and was like, the Steelers have re-engaged in some talks here. So looks like they might be, because of how much leverage and control that Ayuk and his agent have in all of these proceedings, because of the fact that they have to iron out the contract, like they have to basically agree. This is basically like dealing with a guy with a no trade clause. He has to sign off on this. And what have we known about Ayuk this entire offseason? He wants to go to the Commanders or he wants to go to the Steelers. So if the Steelers are now back in the mix here, he's going to be like, okay, hold on, Cleveland. Hold on, New England, with really ridiculous quarterback situations. And if I can get to Pittsburgh where I actually want to go, boom, let's do that. So I'm starting to feel like maybe it is going to end up being the Steelers now.
Maybe it is. Now, they don't have a receiver to really kick back in unless they want it to be George Pickens, and maybe they want to rid themselves of the headache that might be George Pickens. But otherwise, it'd be interesting with the compensation ends up being there, probably draft picks, and I don't know if they have, but maybe they just, San Francisco says, you know, it's fine, just give us the picks, we won't worry about a player in return here. But I'm fascinated to see how this Brandon Ayuk thing plays out. We also did get practice fights today, early, Giants, Lions, and Daniel Jones was right in the middle of this. So Malik Nabers, who's been fantastic for them, I believe he caught 16 of 17 passes over the course of 2 days in joint practice between the Giants and the Lions. He's been brilliant. So he gets in a fight with Kirby Joseph, friend of the nosebleed seats. We had him on before he was selected to go to Detroit in the draft. And then Daniel Jones apparently also started a fight at practice. He goes up behind one of the defensive linemen, Aleem McNeil, and just shoves him to the ground, and then his center, Greg Van Rotten, has to get up, defend Daniel Jones, and that incites a huge brawl between it. So I don't know, like, do we like the quarterbacks in here? Kind of just like, I'm going to push somebody and then back up. Let my lineman handle. Like, yeah. I'm cool with
you
that.
Love this.
Daniel Jones, get in on the action.
Yeah, he's not really going to get hurt that bad, and you want to see the fire in him, especially from like a beta robot dude like Daniel Jones.
Gosh, that face.
You know, show me some human in there.
He really fits right into the Eli Manning, Daniel Jones.
I mean,
and they're about the same level of talent, too. It's still just crazy that Eli's got a couple rings, man.
It is. It is crazy. And Malik Nabers, I mean, he was really getting after it today. I mean, from a production standpoint, but then he's getting chippy. He's throwing. I mean, that Kirby Joseph. Kirby Joseph threw some
punches.
Serious punches.
Yes.
I don't know that Malik Nabers necessarily won that particular battle.
I don't know that
he's dominating on the field.
And he was asking for it, too.
He
shoves Kirby Joseph, then walks by, and Kirby Joseph's like, all right, let's go. Comes back over, gives him a couple of good haymakers.
But, I mean, when we got the quotes, I think I saw, wasn't it Dable that said during the Giants Hard Knocks thing where he was like, I wasn't sure which receiver I wanted, and then Nick Saban was like, oh, yeah, no, that Malik Nabers out of LSU, that guy's an effing problem.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, and to this point, it seems like he is, even with a pretty bad quarterback.
Yeah, he is. He is a problem. Now, the Commanders have officially named Jaden Daniels their starter on their first unofficial depth chart. Another rookie with the Broncos. Their unofficial depth chart came out. Bo Nix is third. They got Jared Stidham. They've got Zach Wilson. They've got Bo Nix. I think this is probably going to change, but it's just kind of shocking that that's the case. I mean, what are we doing? Sean Payton is tying his entire future to Bo Nix, and he's now listing him as the third string quarterback.
I wonder if this is the mind games of having to earn it and really compete.
Come on, Bo.
I mean, I saw some like early training camp reports of
he was playing well.
Bo, yeah, actually playing pretty well, allegedly. I didn't see any footage of this. So who knows what that type of spin zone was.
But I think he still probably ends up playing 80% of their games starting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't take a quarterback that high. And, you know, and you wouldn't list him as third either. You know, I think the GM would be like, no.
There's something up here.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Motivation tricks, but.
A little fishy. Eagles are rocking with the rookie linebacker Jeremiah Trotter Jr., son of Jeremiah Trotter. And he's running with the ones right now at linebacker. Not a good sign for N'Kobe Dean, who they drafted a year ago. But we'll see if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. ends up being a big playmaker for the Eagles moving forward. And then we had a loss for the Lions. Emmanuel Mosley, their corner, has suffered a torn pec in practice. He's going to be out indefinitely, most likely the remainder of the season when it comes to a torn pec. Although we did see, like, Ray Lewis came back in a crazy amount of time from a torn pec. I think he tore it against the Cowboys and then ended up coming back for their Super Bowl run that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Just harnessing it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a corner, maybe that's a little bit tougher, but we'll see what happens with Emmanuel Mosley. He's missed the last 2 years now because he suffered torn ACLs in both of them. So this would be the third straight year for him.
The trifecta of season-ending injuries is enough to make you just want to quit football.
I think Lewis did a torn tricep, but very similar and, like, wasn't supposed to be back, but just, like, manned up through it.
Oh, it's pretty badass. Tricep. Yeah. I mean, anytime you're tearing a muscle, there's no reason you should be able to play anything.
Mm. We also have Myles Garrett, who said on NFL Network that week one, Cowboys-Browns, Garrett's an Arlington Martin guy.
Yes.
There's going to be some inner conflict among his family, specifically his mother, in week one, as his entire family are diehard Cowboy fans. So they're going to find it tough to be watching the Cowboys, but yet maybe trying to root against them because they want Miles to have success. I guess you could make this work. Like, I want Myles Garrett to have success. I'm rooting for you, son, but I'm rooting for the Cowboys to win this game.
This is one of those sports situations where you go into it not knowing exactly where your heart is going to be. Does that ever happen to you guys? Like, I don't know who
game.
I want to win. You know, this is my cousin or this is my brother, but this is the Cowboys. I think for a lot of them, I think once you realize it's your family out there, the allegiance would swing pretty hard that way, if you ask me.
Like, but for 1 week.
Some people will hold out, but only the super diehard dudes that, like, cry and break TVs when the Cowboys lose.
Cardinals head
Dude,
coach.
Can I just?
Yeah.
Like, I'm feeling for, I mean, Terrence Steele got thrown to the Wolves against Myles Garrett. And that was a sack fumble in the first 5 seconds of that game.
You're going to have to give him some help.
And now all of a sudden, like, Tyler Guyton's going to get thrown to the Wolves too. I mean, Godspeed,
well,
brothers. These tackles are going to be in for a long one.
I'm hoping Tyler starts that game. I mean, now he's a little bit behind the eight ball here, missing some practice with the illness. That might be a Chumandoga start, just week one. And I'm hopeful it's not.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going to be even worse if it is. Because I've talked about it. Like, I can live with Myles Garrett kicking Tyler Guyton's ass. It's a learning moment. It's okay. Hopefully you get better from that. I can't live with Chumandoga going out there and getting his ass kicked by Myles Garrett, because that'll happen.
If it was up to me, Tyler Guyton could miss every practice moving forward from here on out to week one. He would be my starting left tackle.
As a rookie, just put him on the Tyron Smith plan.
I'd rather play with four than with Adoga.
Put Zeke and Lipke out there, two blocking backs on each side of Dak.
There you go.
Yeah, just go ahead and chip. We're chipping away. Jonathan Gannon announced that Kyler Murray's not going to play in the preseason either. A little bit of a surprise here. Like, I know a lot of the quarterbacks don't, but Kyler missed, for the most part, the entirety of last season. He had a couple new weapons there. Maybe you want to see him play, but Allen's zone, you're not going to get to see in preseason. And I've never heard of this, but Antonio Pierce challenged his coaching staff to a coach's conditioning test.
Wow.
Could you imagine if we're out there in Oxnard and we're seeing Mike McCarthy.
And Mike Zimmer.
And Zim. And, I mean, look. Jeff Zuniga, maybe he's got the ability to go out there and do it.
Zanina.
Yeah.
I think it's with a ka. I think we looked it up, and that's how the pronunciation
I just need y'all to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I just tell you what, that's Jeff Z.
Jeff Z's good. We can go with that if you want to.
That's Coach Z.
There's one of those words was silent in there, but he might dominate those. Al Harris would dominate those this as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of Cowboys coaches that are in great shape.
But there's
shape.
A lot that would be hilarious. Like Paul Gunther, bless his heart.
Oh, Paul Gunther.
Oh, my goodness. He's going to be huffing and puffing out there. He'd be looking like me going out there trying to do this conditioning test. So this Raiders coaching staff has 61-year-old defensive assistant Rob Ryan.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just for comic relief right there.
Rob's out there doing this.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
do we have footage of this?
He went out there with his shirt off, too, and did it. Now, I did not see any footage. Yeah. Maybe they said, like,
media. Did he truffle shuffle out there?
I don't know if he truffle shuffled, but he should have. He should have leaned into the bit. He should have. But, yeah, he was shirtless out there. Antonio Pierce said he wanted to challenge the coaches. He also thought it would boost morale for the players. It probably would. Like, it's probably fun for the players to see the coaches out there trying to do this.
That's more of a funny thing. I've heard Rob Ryan has been a big fan of that, just taking his shirt off in situations to strut around as the big fat guy. He's a terrific comic relief as that. I think our guy Young Shoddy would be great
here. Shoddy would be good.
Yeah, Jeff Blasco, the running game coordinator. I don't know if he's good at coordinating a run, but he looked fit, you know? I think a lot of these guys, I'd love to see it.
Well, Ryan said he actually did lose some weight out of this whole deal. So,
Rob?
Yeah. Good for Rob.
When you have nowhere to go but down.
That's probably the first exercising he's done in God knows how long.
Yeah.
30, 40 years.
Potentially his entire existence.
Get out there, Rob. Well, one guy that did a lot of exercising during his career, we actually have two, Carolina. We had Kay Adams go out there for training camp. She was talking with Luke Kuechly, who's eligible to go to the Hall of Fame. We talked about that yesterday. Also, Dan Morgan, outstanding linebacker for the U at Miami, and then also with Carolina, went to a Super Bowl and they lost to New England. He's now part of their pro personnel department. Told a great story about playing against Michael Vick, one of the best to ever play. And here was Kuechly with Morgan telling the story.
I got a great Dan Morgan story. When I was growing up, I loved the Miami Hurricanes. I don't know if you've heard the story before, but Dan Morgan wore my favorite number. You're number 44, right?
Yep.
He had the tinted visor. He had the back plate.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
And I remember there was a game. I don't remember what year it was, but I remember you had turf toe.
Oh, yeah.
And this was back when everybody wore the seven studs. And those things are horrible on your feet. They beat your feet up. They're hard to wear. All these guys wear molded cleats now. And they took, so on their seven studs, there's one here, 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 and then two in the back.
Yeah.
And you took the stud off on that big toe. And I remember I went up and told my mom, I said, Dan Morgan's playing with turf toe. They had to remove one of his studs. And my mom's like, I don't know what that means.
That was
but
one of
it
my
sounds
worst
really good.
College games.
No, it was
my toe
your
was
best.
Killing me.
It was your best game because I was like, Dan Morgan's so tough.
Yeah. Well, we played against Michael Vick that game. And, you know, to have to run after that guy, like, I needed all my cleats to run his butt down.
So I've been watching him for a while.
I mean, you're so
since
insane.
College.
Luke, you're so insane.
I mean, he's just gushing over Dan Morgan sitting right next to him. But it's amazing. I mean, like, imagine having to play against Michael Vick and your cleats are falling apart. No, thank you.
No, no, not at all. That's not what you want to do right there. I think he should have had the self-awareness on that one.
There you
when
go.
You got the toe issue,
I'm out.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. We'll get me back for next week.
I'm
when
good
you,
here,
when
coach.
We get one of these pocket passers.
Yep, take me out of the
Deion
game.
Couldn't even play through this, coach. You know, I'm going to have to sit this week out.
Yeah, he's going to need to get out of there. This is also one that not good for Derek Carr, like one of the stats you don't want to be a part of, but he's two losses away from NFL infamy, where he's got the opportunity to lose to Carolina and Las Vegas this year. He would break a record and set a new record for having lost to all 32 teams in the National Football League. So he's got 30 of the 32. His former team, Las Vegas, plays the Saints this year in Week 17, and then they play Carolina in Week 9. I'm a little surprised maybe last year. I guess Carolina was so damn bad, the Saints weren't going to lose to him. Carolina might be one he can avoid this year. Maybe they're able to beat Carolina both times.
But, hey, dude, division rivals, you know how those things go.
It'd be tight.
I think that would be pretty dang funny for Derek Carr to have that.
It'd be amazing. And then the triplet rankings are out as we conclude NFL News of the Day. Where do you think the Cowboys triplets came in? This is a quarterback, a receiver. It can be a tight end or a wide receiver, and then running back pairing.
Oh, gosh.
The Dak, CeeDee, Jake? Ninth.
No, this is Dak.
Oh, it's got to be a running back?
This is Dak, CeeDee, Zeke.
They actually go Rico.
Okay, and that's actually, that's better. That gives you a higher ranking, honestly.
They got 12.
12?
So the Cowboys came in at 12th best triplets.
In third best wide receiver, 12th best quarterback, 25th best running back.
The running back was bad.
About average
12. It brought him down.
Yeah, it's we'll hope for the best for Rico. I think he's a talented guy. So is Malik Davis. You know, but I really think we're going to need to acquire somebody else if you want to target that 4.5 yards per attempt. And really, only the best teams now in the NFL get that 4.5. That changed big time over the last 2 years. New catcher Carson Kelly joins you next. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
5-3 The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. It is time now for the Rangers Player Show. Pregame coming up at 6:30 after last night's exciting 4-3 win in extras. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankofirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick
and by Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? As joining us now, Rangers catcher Carson Kelly here on your home of the champs. And a good afternoon, sir.
Thanks. Not for... yet, but I do have Mr. Broaddus in the building.
Mr. Broaddus is in the building.
What about that, boys? Yeah.
How was practice?
I'll tell you what, we just got done, and, man, they continue to throw a lot of things at these players, but some really good competitive periods today, so I'm really looking forward to diving into some things on Krusty's Corner here after we have our players' guests eventually.
Yes, sir. Right on. Did you get a chance to watch any of the game last night?
I did not. Matter of fact, I was doing some work. I got invited to do something that I can't talk about.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, it was in the complex here, but I can't talk about it right now. But it helped me better.
Is there already an NDA?
I don't know what's going on. I just was told I don't need to talk about what I was doing, so okay, I can't okay. talk about it. So I didn't get a chance to see the game, but it was something that helps me have a little bit better understanding of what's going on here. How about that?
Well, very exciting. Very exciting baseball.
Sorry about that. Yeah, good game, though. Yeah,
I mean,
good game.
You get the home run in the eighth there from Seager.
Saw that.
And then, you know, the game winner from
Highlights.
Smith.
I saw the highlights. I saw the highlights of Seager, and then I saw the emotional with Josh, you know, after he launched that thing.
Really, that's funny. If Seager was coming up to bat on the television in your hotel room, I figured you'd just walk right out of the room.
I got to listen on
I tried. That's why I did I was doing something else because I was, I was, I'm not very good at like watching these clutch moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Trayvon Diggs out there today?
He was. He practiced a little bit. They went down into their 7-on-7 period was at the goal line. So he got a little goal line work today. And so it's like about 3 or 4 reps, and then he steps on out. And so he's just trying to get acclimated. He's not wearing a brace or anything. He's just like most of these guys have got like the, you know, the tights. He's got one cut leg short, one cut leg long. Not a cut, but long leg. And so, yeah, but no brace and moving around okay, but they're trying to acclimate him a little bit more each day. Mike was talking about it on the podium before we went out onto the field, but it's good to see him out there moving around.
I mean, we were talking about in the opening segment how key this is. You know, can he get back to the player that he was at the start of last year? Is that too early to expect? Because if he does, you're going to feel great about your defensive backs, and maybe we're just like an answer at defensive tackle away from being amazing.
Yeah, the thing that you get to worry about is that everybody that's come through after these knee injuries have kind of struggled a little bit coming back, and it's been a little bit of a par for the course. Even, you know, guys, I know that John Stevens, you know, coming back, John Stevens is doing well, but John Stevens, the tight end, is not doing as well as John Stevens was last year at this time. So him having to come back from the knee, we'll see with the situation with Diggs. You got to be hopeful of that, you know, that he can come back. But they do have some guys that they're using in his place, and a lot of guys are getting good work. And I would consider that. You know, if you start to talk about the strengths of this defense, the secondary would be part of that.
Right on. Well, I mean, if he can just be good enough, there's potential to even get the strongest of Cowboys cynics off their seats here for this Cowboys defense.
Yeah, they just, you know, we've all seen this, whether it's Pollard or whoever's come back, Steele, these guys that have come back from this knee injury, it's like 4, 5, 6 games in, and then all of a sudden, boy, here we go. You know, now the guy is starting to play a little bit better level.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, that he kind of bucks the trend. But we've seen this happen lately that these guys coming back, as soon as we see them come back on the field, we're like, okay, here we go. Yeah. High-level Pro Bowl player. And next thing you know, it's, you know, we're 5 weeks in. It's like he doesn't look as good.
I think it's something to look into. If the Cowboys are behind the curve on that in any way, it'd be interesting to find out. As new catcher Carson Kelly joins you here on your home of the World Series champion Texas Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, it's great to have you. You've been in the bigs for a while, obviously. Is it still super exciting to be on the winning side of one like last night?
Always. Anytime you get a win, it's the best feeling in the world. And it's especially a walk-off, even a homer for a walk-off, that's even better.
So we're waiting for the spark to sort of turn this thing around. Obviously, a lot of expectations being defending champs. You've only been here a couple of weeks now, maybe even less. What is your take on what this team's capable of, Carson?
It's a good team. You know, playing them up from the other side, you can just see the talent, and, you know, they can strike at any moment. And, you know, it's a good team. And I think, you know, after a win like last night, you know, we're going to continue to continue to roll with the vibes here and, you know, go win some ball games.
How was that trade deadline process like for you? I always wonder from a player's perspective, knowing maybe your name's being thrown around there, how hard it is to remain focused when, hey, I might not be here in a day or two.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something, you know, we have to deal with as players, but we do our best to just, you know, kind of block out all that and go out and perform. You know, we still got baseball to play, and you have that countdown, you know, 3-4 days before. And but the biggest thing is just try to stay in the moment and stay with, you know, stay with your work and go out and win ball games. So it's been a crazy, you know, week for me. I think it's only been a week now. You know, it's been great. You know, the guys here have been awesome, and you know, I've really enjoyed my time here so far.
Yeah, I was wondering. I know you got your guy Shafe in there with you. Do you have any other bros on the team that could welcome you in pretty seamlessly?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, you know, playing these guys around the league, and you get to know guys kind of from afar. But you know, being a catcher, you get to see the guys come up to the plate every, you know, a couple times a night. So that little interaction makes it a little, you know, easier to come into a clubhouse.
What type of interactions go down at the plate there? We trash talking a little bit. You introduce yourself to these guys. If you don't know them, you ever get starstruck? It's like, oh, my God, this is Ohtani in the box right now, and I'm trying to frame this pitch up. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just small talk. Small talk, and, you know, sometimes you got to take a little leap and talk to some guys, and sometimes they'll shut you down, and sometimes they'll interact with you. But, yeah, those little interactions are pretty fun.
Hey, Carson, would you we're starting to hear things about maybe the robot umps or that type of – maybe that baseball's thinking about going that way. If they go to robot umps, would that be something that you would miss, having somebody stand behind you that way, or somebody you kind of talk to, or you look out for him and he looks out for you kind of a thing?
Yeah, you know, I've always really liked the interactions with the umpires and getting to, you know, feel for their zone and asking questions and, you know, always letting them know when they got it wrong. You know, that's something that, you know, we have to continue to evolve. And if that's the way that it's going to go, then, I mean, you'll still have those conversations, but, you know, we have to evolve as players. And if the game is going to go that way, then, you know, we've got to make the adjustment.
What if they put an actual robot behind you, like some of these robots they're building, like MIT?
It might get a elbow to the back. You never know what might happen. You know, mess up the zone a little bit. You know, we'll see if we can maybe skew it, get a few inches off, and but you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. So you grew up in Beaverton, Oregon, which is interesting to me because I grew up in Vancouver, Washington. But what I think is even more interesting is it says you spent time in Toronto where you started playing hockey. How was the transition into that Canadian sport?
Oh, that was a lot of fun. So growing up in Beaverton, Oregon, I actually played roller hockey.
Okay.
You know, my parents wanted me to play as many sports as I can. I loved hockey. So moving up to Toronto, I was like, I got to play ice hockey, right?
Yeah.
So my parents enrolled me in, like, the I don't know, what did you call it, but probably the lowest level you can possibly imagine in ice hockey, where people are falling all over the place. Uh-huh. So I was in that league, and, you know, I had a blast. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I played youth baseball up there and hockey and just, you know, got to meet a lot of really cool people. And I actually still talk to some of them every once in a while. You know, they check in during the course of the season. And it was a great experience for me. You know, I loved being in Toronto, and, you know, that's something I'll always cherish.
Hey, Carson, being from Beaverton, did you ever have a summer job at Nike? Did you ever work in the factory, the plant, loading boxes up? Did you ever have one of those?
No, I never had one of those. So my dad worked for Nike, and that's why we grew up in Beaverton. So I was very fortunate, and, you know, we got to go to the Nike employee store pretty much
sure.
every every day, it felt like. But, you know, I loved being up there. I've talked to a lot of actually, it's funny because a lot of the people that I went to high school with now work at Nike.
Right, right.
You know, I was fortunate. We were there, I think, in 1999 is my dad's first year there. So I got to go through like all the Nike Tykes, which is like the daycare, and see Nike kind of build up from then. So it was really cool and really special.
Isn't there a Budweiser plant up there too? Is there a distributorship up there?
There might be.
Okay. Well, the only reason I say that is I had an old teammate from LSU when I was playing football, Ray Brock. The Brock brothers were all Beaverton, Oregon guys. And I thought one of them worked at his wife worked at Nike, and the other one was working for Budweiser. So I thought all you guys did was beer and shoes when I was thinking about Beaverton, Oregon.
Yeah, we would go work out and then drink after that.
There you go. I know you got damn good Christmas trees. I know you guys got good trees out of that.
Really good. It's like a full on thing. You know,
we go
get our Christmas tree. It's like an event.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people. You go cut it down yourself. You got it's like a couple hour process.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, just give me one of those. It's literally, now what do you think of this? No, I don't like that. It's too floppy. And then you go to the next one and the next one. And yeah, you're there for a good hour and a half, 2 hours trying to figure it out.
That's going to be hard for you then from being from that era. Again, here I'm talking about Christmas trees, but you know, that's going to be hard when you see one and you're like, man, I'm not doing this. I'm not buying this. No, I could walk in the snow and get my own, and it's going to be beautiful. I'm not buying this one. There you go.
No, I knew it. 100%. My wife is actually the one who makes the decision. So she's very particular about what she's looking for lights, ornaments. You know, it's the whole thing.
Is she down here with you? What do you guys think of Texas so far?
Oh, it's been great. She came out with our son, and you know, it's been a great experience so far. And you know, it's a whirlwind when you get, you know, traded and you got to move all your stuff. But she's a rock star. She's been doing a tremendous job and helping me out. And, you know, but we've really enjoyed our time here so far. You know, I'm really excited about what we got going on down the stretch. And, you know, let's go win tonight and take it day by day.
Heck yeah. Day by day. Let's get our first victory of the day is going to be right now. I got a little quiz for you. This is some sound. It's only 3 seconds of sound. Can you guess the teammate that is being analyzed here? One of your teammates has been described in a particular type of way. I know you've only been in there for a week now. Give us your best guess.
You put me on the spot.
Here's 3 seconds
of sound.
You can
do it.
Guess that teammate.
Man.
Here is your hint.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. You guys got me stumped on that one. I think I need a few more days for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just start peeking around in there and you let us know. I mean, I'll tell you, your guy Kisner has gotten a lot of love. I'm going to tell you that's not the right answer. But you look at Kisner, look at his build, and then come back to us next time we get you on here, Carson. We'll figure out if you nailed it.
All right, I'll do some research.
Thank you, sir. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Carson Kelly, new Rangers catcher here on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan. Pretty cool story there.
Yeah, real cool story. Hey, we're going to give him some wings for being on with us. We're going to give him some Plucker's wings. We got 8 of those in the DFW location, and Plucker's going to give him a $100 gift certificate. So hopefully while his wife's unpacking boxes, he can treat her to some wings. How about that?
Yes, sir. The Rangers Player Show also brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation. If you didn't hear, Krusty's Corner has moved to the 340 segment daily, so that's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I got a good practice to talk about with you guys, and we'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius, and thanks to Carson Kelly, Rangers catcher, for joining us here in the Nation. The Corner's brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. Here's the king of the Krusty's himself, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you to Dallas College for being part of this. Appreciate that. Had a good day of practice today, boys.
Nice.
Got a good day of practice.
No false starts and whatnot?
Man, you know, we had the NFL officials here. We had a couple of those. We had some offsides today. I was a little bit worried about when they went 7-on-7, which is a passing period. I was thinking, okay, like Land Clark was here. He's the lead official. And so I don't know if it was his crew or maybe some guys, some other officials from around the league that just kind of join, you know, join him and they work this. But I kind of had a feeling we were going to see some like defensive holding, you know, illegal contact, all that crap. And we, sure enough, that's what happened. These guys, we're trying to practice here, but these guys have to come in and talk about, oh, wait, we had holding, we had this. They did call a pick on Turpin, though, trying to run some picks down there on the goal line, and the official said, no, you can't do that. But
hopefully that's not an emphasis. We just got good at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At least they're trying to do it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like going, oh, man, you can't call that. But they said that Turpin, and he's like the smallest guy out there. How does a guy that little set a pick?
Yeah.
But the official called it from the side, and it wiped out a touchdown, too,
by the way,
which, yeah, these officials, sometimes you got to watch what's going on with them. But anyway, yeah. We had those guys in the building today.
Had a little run-in with one over the weekend, Brian. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, did you?
Give a piece of your mind.
Yeah. Little girl ended up getting her arm broken because he was letting physical play go away or go on.
Man, come on. You can't have
that.
I know.
Got to protect the kids.
I mean, yeah.
I tried to warn
them. Kids. Yeah. Hey, I saw, speaking of protect the kids ruling, Dawson.
Yeah.
I saw a coach from Canada get booted out of the Olympics because of not protecting the kids.
Really?
Yeah. When you were talking about that, I was like going, man, does he have to go to a clinic, right? Or like you have a
safe
clinic?
Sports training. Clinic.
Yeah. Yeah. Sports clinic. Yeah. But Canada had a coach that he was in violation and they booted him out of the deal. But
I wonder if it was the same one that had the drones that were flying over practice.
Was he being too mean?
That was a chick.
This was abusive. This was abusive stuff. And then some sexual harassment stuff was involved.
That's gross.
Oh no.
Yeah. So you know, that gymnast or that track and the gymnast, I mean, those poor ladies, I mean, geez, how they pick these guys for these things. I don't know, but they do. Anyway, getting back to practice there. Really nice day for your guy, Cropper, by the way.
Nice.
I mean, he is – okay, I'm trying to figure out here how many receivers are we going to keep. And this kid keeps making plays. So we keep talking about Tolbert and Cooks, and I'm just going down the list, and Turpin, and then Flournoy started practicing again, and then Brooks. But we don't have any CeeDee Lamb here, but Cropper is showing up on these – on these daily things.
Well, he's got a little something the others don't when it comes to the burst, the speed.
He knows how to get open.
He's smooth. I mean, he does not, his ability to accelerate and get in and out of his cuts on a dime. The kid was impressive the first couple days at camp, and then he kind of slowed down a little bit. So today, it looked like an impressive day from some of the clips that came out, Brian.
It was. And when they put him on the move, he's especially good because he could separate. He has a feel, as you mentioned there, Wooly, that when he runs routes, it's like he's going full speed. It's not like any hesitation or slowing up or, oh, I'm worried about running into somebody. He knows where he wants to go, and he gets there. And I'll tell you what, he got some work with the ones today.
Wow.
So he's been like a ones or a twos and, you know, that kind of thing. But I've been kind of impressed. I mean, they throw the ball to him on the out. It's a first down. They throw him the ball down the field. It's a catch in the middle of the field. They throw him the ball down in the end zone. He's separated from Jordan Lewis. By the way, Jordan Lewis did have a good day today. I know I was kind of talking about him getting caught up for a defensive holding. But this Cropper kid, they're going to have to figure out, and we'll see more practices, preseason, how many numbers they keep at wide receiver. Because this kid right here is making them – it might be one of those things like, you know, we talked to Steven Jones, and I'm going to try and grab him tonight too. Maybe not about Cropper. We got the media party tonight. I'm going to see if Clarence Hill lets me ask a question, I might be able to get some information. I'm going to lose that battle tonight. Just get ready. That battle's going to be lost.
You boozing tonight?
No, I can't. I promised some people I'd drive. You know how that goes. But I will.
We should have been those people that got promised that. I'm still bummed.
I know.
Yeah, the food consumption will be high, though. I'll make sure I'll have a food report
for you
tomorrow. Big day for Jake Ferguson catching the football. You know, Dak, the tight ends, we've talked about the tight ends room. Ferguson, we've seen a lot more of the seam stuff that Ferguson kind of has been really, really good at. But they're finding ways now with they're starting to use some screen packages and things like that to try and get the ball in these guys' hands. Ferguson, I think, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, of the tight ends that run with the football, he's probably the best open field tight end. Am I right about that?
Like when it comes on the team?
When it comes to playing in space and then run after catch.
Yes.
Okay.
And then next would be Stevens for me.
See, now the thing about Stevens, and I said it earlier when I came on with you guys, I don't think Stevens has been as good as he was last year.
Yeah.
I don't. And maybe it has to do with getting re-acclimated with the knee stuff and all that. But I kind of feel like, though,
he's probably still second best, though.
I would say second best, yeah. That would be Schoonmaker was back at practice today. I know you guys really care about that, but
no, it's good that he was back. At
no,
least.
It was his back. He's got to practice. They've got to figure out this room. Hoffman today, he got beat on a goal line play down there. Micah Parsons, they've kind of figured out, and Mike McCarthy talked about it today, about the blitz I described yesterday where he was playing at depth and he went all the way around from the A-gap to the C-gap on the outside there. He beat – they needed to get off the field on fourth down to the goal line. It was a mojo moment. Hoffman got beat clean by Parsons, and it ended up being a sack, and that was it.
They had Micah right over the center there, right?
And rushed him? They did. They rushed him. They didn't walk him at depth. They made sure that he was what they call mug or tight to the gap, and he just overpowered Hoffman and gotten Dak really didn't have a chance on that. I mentioned Lewis. I thought he had a really good day in the nickel today. He had a couple of PBUs. He might have had one of the best interceptions that you'll ever see, though, carrying a route to the outside. And Dak was late throwing the ball. The interception. Mm-hmm. There was a couple times we were standing down the goal line, and I'm next to Archer. I'm like, throw it. You know, you got guys open. And there's that little bit of that hesitation, a little bit of indecision. Is it, you know, seeing what you see? When you're behind all that and you see the routes all going, it's like, now, you go, throw it. And he was a little bit late on the outside, and Lewis did a great job of breaking on the ball, extending it. One of the prettier interceptions that you'll see. But they're trying to score right there, and Dak throws an interception there right on the goal line, and so defense gets the turnover. I don't know if I've mentioned Willie Harvey very, very much in these practices.
A little bit yesterday.
Yeah, Willie Harvey. Okay, when you start to talk about the linebackers,
he's a veteran, isn't he?
Yeah, he's – let me see what the years on him. He was in the UFL is what he did. He was a UFL player that, you know, the football league. He's a second-year guy. Looking at the numbers, but they're running him now more with the ones. So he's getting some work in the rotation with Leofau, with Clark, with those guys. So they're kind of trying to find a spot for him. I mentioned Clark. Man, he has done a really nice job. They ran a lot of goal line stuff today. It was really a physical practice in that way. And so a lot of take on at the point of attack. Clark several times, and they were able to step up on the goal line and do some pretty good things. It was hard for the front when they got down there. They were trying to run through. They put three defensive tackles. Zimmer just went ahead and said, okay, when we get inside the five, we're going to put all three of our defensive tackles down there inside. So they had some size down inside there. With Rodgers down there, with Davis down there, and then also with Mozzie down there. And so they were able to kind of stack some things up. And as they're stacking it up, Clark and those guys were coming downhill in a hurry. And there were a couple different times where they made some really good physical plays at the point of attack. So it continues to be a physical practice out here. We got tomorrow, we got a mock game, so you guys know what that means. And then we got the Rams coming here on Thursday. So good practice overall today with the officials here. And we'll see how things go here in a couple days when the Rams roll into town.
Sounds great. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every day at this time, brought to you by Dallas College. The USA is whooping Brazil. It's 99-71 with 8 minutes to play. So doing a nice job here. I think they're going to move to 6-0 so far in the basketball tournament. This is in the the quarterfinal game already. And, man, the USA pretty much without incident so far, making light work of this tournament. It's cool to see. 10 players on the rise at Cowboys camp. We'll get Brian's thoughts on this and more as the nation continues here next on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.